Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Welcome again. This morning, where we were during our prayer time, we were talking about voices, singing voices. You're saying some have good voices, some don't. Who here feels they have a great singing voice? Woo! Raise your hand if you got a great singing voice. I don't even see the worship team raising their hands, so we have got a problem here. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a singing voice expert come and teach you guys how to sing. So... No, seriously. We were just discussing how, you know, some people feel that they can, you know, have a nice voice. Some others, they're kind of, but the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, when you worship, when you praise God and worship God, He's more interested in that voice that's coming from within, right? He wants a heart of worship, you know, and how your voice sounds may affect the guy sitting next to you. But to God, it's just the precious sound. And so last week, Pastor Henry had some comments about how we worship, and rightly so, you know. Sometimes it's good to get up and jump. Sometimes it's good to raise your hands. Sometimes it's good to clap your hands. And guess what? Sometimes it's good to just sit there. You know, there's a time. There's a time for all things to come together. But whatever you do, worship from the heart. Give God whatever is within you today, give it to God. He's guess what? He's going to give you a lot more than you could ever give Him. Amen. So when you raise His name up, when you praise His name as we sing these songs, if you're one of these with the flags, you know, He loves worship. That's what it's about, right? We come here and we want to hear Pastor Henry speak. I want to hear him. But it's really more about what did we bring for our God, okay? Bring Him a heart of worship this morning. Raise your voice up. Stand up and do whatever. And if you want to get on your knees, do that also. Amen. You know, He just wants that heart. He just wants to hear what your heart has to say. So however you feel this morning, don't be shy. And even if your neighbor doesn't like the way you sound, who cares? Sing it anyway. Sing it anyway. So, if you guys would please stand with me and we'll pray. And we are going to get a teacher for this worship team, though. I don't know about that. Father God, we just thank You for this morning, Lord. We thank You for joy. We thank You for laughter. We thank You, Lord, that You receive whatever we brought for You this morning, Lord. Oh, but there is so much more, Lord, that we will receive from You. Just to be in Your presence. Just to come before Your throne. Just to remember, Lord, what this weekend and what next weekend's all about, Lord. We remember what You've done, Lord, and we look forward to what You have planned for us from here on. We thank You, Lord, that we know that You live within us, and we thank You, Lord, that You never leave us, You never forsake us because of that. And so, Lord, this morning we just come and we want to give our hearts to You in praise and in worship. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's get to worship.
You know, all week as I've prepared for these worship songs, It's been such a... This song says it perfectly. It's been such a feeling of just such gratitude. See, because we even were in Phoenix yesterday for Lonnie's competition, and everywhere we passed by this church, and they had a cross outside with the cloth draped over it, and it's like the power of what we're celebrating. What he did for our life. So as I worshiped during this week, it was like this feeling of just exactly what this song says. If this is all I have, the only thing fit for a king, I'm gonna worship. I'm gonna worship because the price he paid was that we might live in freedom and life everlasting, right? It's both. It's, he didn't just do one thing, it was multiple. As you read and you go over the story, you'll see that by his stripes we are healed. It was healing for us. That it was a washing of our sins, a covering of it, right? That we might have communion with him one-on-one every single day, which is an amazing gift even in itself. That we don't have to go through people or try to find ways around, that we can just go straight to him for every single need in our life every single day. But then he also overcame death, defeated it. It's done. We got victory. See, it's so many things, right? Not just one thing. But sometimes it's even difficult for us to just raise our hands because of our comfort zone. Sometimes it's difficult for us to give a little hop when we got excited because we can feel that he's moving. See, there's such little things in comparison to the amazing things that he did for us, right? The things that he... The price that he paid. See, he walked knowing what was coming and still chose to do it. Whew. It's powerful and it's mighty, and it makes me not just want to jump, but it makes me want to run and shout and get super excited and just give him all the glory that he deserves, because it is an amazing thing that he did for us specifically. Every single one of us, that you might live life, and not just life, but life more abundantly than you could ever ask or think. Whew. See, it's amazing. It really is. I really liked, I think Heather put this on the bulletin, but when I read it this morning, it just hit a spot with me, because I've been in this place of like just feeling this overwhelming gratitude all week. And it said, it's Friday. Peter is asleep. Judas has betrayed him. Mary is crying. Hope is lost. Death has won. Satan is laughing. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. A rock is rolled into place. But Sunday is coming. See, that's the thing. Is they may have thought when they saw him down that cross, oh, it's done. Maybe we were wrong. Maybe we thought he was somebody that he's not. But that's the thing. Sometimes in your life, you might have to wait for the promise, but the promise is coming. It doesn't matter if to you it seems like it's dead and gone. See, I was talking to Gina this morning, and we were talking about Abraham and Sarah waited years for their promise. Not just, a year, not just a little bit of time. He was given a word and they waited years, years and years, but their promise came. See, that's the thing. I don't know what you got going on this morning, but know that God is, he is not a God that lies. He is the truth. And there is not a single thing, not a single promise that he places in your life, that he gives you, that he's not gonna actually have come to pass. It's your promise. Take hold of it, regardless of the time or how long you think. If you think it's taking too long, hold on even longer. Because God will have his promise come to pass in your life, regardless of what you're seeing.
Hallelujah.
Yes. He knows what he's doing.
I wanted to share something with you guys, because it goes right along with what Rebecca's talking about. Last week, I took Ben, my son, to go watch the movie King of Kings. And it's so good if you have kids. Even if you don't have kids, go watch it. It's really good. It's kid-friendly. It's accurate, but they made it very kid-appropriate. But while we were watching the movie, during the crucifixion part, Ben was sitting on my lap. And I could feel, he kind of sat forward and I could feel his little body get like tense. He was worried, you know? And then a few seconds later, he relaxed and just leaned back against me and he turned his head to me and he says, "Mom, it's gonna be okay. He's gonna come back to life in 3 days, right?" And I said, "Yes, he is." And that just made my heart so happy because he knows. And it was just a reminder that we know. Sometimes we need to be reminded. But just like Rebecca said, it's a promise. Sunday's not coming. It's already here. And just like she was talking about Abraham and Sarah, Abe and I have been praying for things for years. And we continue to pray. Even though we haven't seen it yet, it's a promise and we know it's coming. So I wanted to share that because I want to remind you to rest and let God work and do what he's gonna do because he knows what he's doing. So rest.
As we were singing that last song, as I was praising, where it says that we have nothing to give. What do we have to give for the King? And in my mind's eye, I envision the life of Jesus as a baby taking something to him as he laid in that manger. As he rode in on that donkey, laying whatever I had at his feet, being at the cross and taking things. The resurrection, and today, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is the King of Kings. And whatever we have, I want to lay it at his feet. Today, if you have anything that you're withholding, give it away. Because he is worthy for that. If you have nothing to give, yes, you do. And so this song is so meaningful as we continue with it. I know we need to do it a little bit longer. Thank you.
I have a praise report. I thank you all for your prayers. I've been up here a couple of different times announcing the town cleanup in the town of Sarita. The praise report I have for you is that we had 100 plus people that showed up yesterday. Thank you to Sean and Christy. Thank you. Thank you that 50% of those in attendance were the youth. We had the Sidewinders baseball team. We had other teams there. It was just awesome to see the kids. It was just so awesome to see the kids. And what was so awesome is the town on Thursday participated also in a cleanup with their employees. So we are difference makers. That's what we're called to do, to go out and make a difference. So that's what we're doing. In the name of Jesus, to the glory of God, thank you.
Okay, so all morning long we've been hearing, hold on to the promise. Hold on to the promise. God has a plan for each and every one of us. That's why he spoke Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. He has given us hope. He has given us the word. He has given us Jesus, who died on the cross. And so the word that came to me was, for we walk, and it's in 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be present from the body and to be present with the Lord. He is present with us because his spirit is in us. And he wants us to walk by faith. Hold on to the promise that he has given you. Sometimes it's tough, but if we walk by faith and not by sight, it shall come to pass. Amen.
I have a testimony to share about holding on to promises. So Gina and I have been contending for our family, excited about our family filling up these chairs. And as I'm sitting here today, I look to my left and I look to my right, and those chairs over there are filled up with my family, Gina's family. And so if there's anybody that's content holding on to promises for your family and you're excited to have your family come join you, Pastor, we're going to need more chairs because they're filling up over there with family. Praise God.
Jesus died for you. Come on, hallelujah. He saw you where you were at. I don't know if you caught that third song, I think it was. Saw you where you were at across this chasm and said, I'm going to go for that one. How many of you are glad that he came for you? Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Last week we talked a little bit about the triumphal entry. Amen? I didn't know this, but Steve Allen was telling me that donkeys have a cross on their backs. Did you know that? How many know that? I didn't know that. They have been marked for life. The generation after generation. I looked it up on the internet. I don't know if the internet tells you the truth anyway. But they showed picture after pictures after picture of donkeys with a cross on their back. Ooh, man, I tell you what, I got excited. That God would even mark a donkey. Yes. That he would put his mark on a donkey. Can you imagine that? How much he wants to put his mark on us. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, come on. How many go look in the internet to see, hey, I want to see a picture of a cross on a donkey. I couldn't believe it. I said, wow, that's pretty cool. How many of you knew that? Most of you knew that, yeah. I didn't know that. And I've been alive only about 42 years. Hey, I'm talking about being born again. Come on, man. You guys are like, yeah, you're not 42. You're 60-something, 70-something. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Lord's Supper. And we're going to, you know, the title of the message is His Last Supper. Amen. It was His last on the earth as a man. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I'll tell you what, I'm excited about what God's doing in the church today. Can you say amen? I believe God doesn't want us caught up in just wondering what's going to happen. I believe that God is a God that wants to show us what He wants to do in our lives. Can you say amen to that? Man, I was I was in Florida this last week, and I was passing by a bench, and it was a quote from Helen Keller, and this quote said, "God, I can't quote it per." I think I wrote it down. Well, maybe I didn't write it down. I didn't write it down. Oh, yes, I did. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight and no vision. Can you say amen to that? Only thing bad about being blind, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight and yet having no vision. How many know that God wants us to have vision? It's one thing to have vision corporately, but God wants to give vision to every person that's in this building. Can you say amen to that? Everyone, God wants to speak to you personally. He wants to show you what He has for you. He's not leaving you by yourself. How many of you have known, figured that out now? That where He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many of you realize that He's with me always? He's not a faraway God. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, aren't you glad that he's near? He's right next to you. He's right in you. Can you say amen to that? Oh, man. And He wants us to understand what He has for every person in the body of Christ. Can you say amen to that? Everybody. From the ones with the most years to the littlest ones. I can't wait to see some of our youth going up to you, going up to people and prophesying over you and saying, this is what God has for you. This is what God is saying to you. Can you say amen? I tell you, my God, God desires to do those kind of things. God desires to speak into our lives by whatever vehicle He can. Can you understand that He is always speaking to us? Yes. Sometimes we're just not listening. Amen. We should be listening, right?
Yes.
Listen. Don't say it. Listen.
Listen.
Listen. Glory to God. So I'm going to take you to Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 20. I just got to say something. I did get a little excited last week. Told everybody, ought to be running around, jumping around. Isn't that right, Pastor? And I got to tell you something. I know who you are. You might say, well, it's good for me to sit here and worship. Yeah, it is. But you do it every time, every time, every time, every time. Sometimes you're going to need to get up and do a little moving around. Can you say amen to that? I remember talking to Reuben, and he had just come out of the doctor's office. And they had told him that his cancer was gone. And I'm talking to him on the phone, and he's crying. He said, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm dancing. I said, yeah, with people looking at you? Yeah, they're looking at me real funny, but I don't care. I don't care. I got something to dance about. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you can imagine the pressure that Jesus is going through, because it's coming up to the end of His days on the earth, if you will. Can you imagine the pressure that He's under? And He's got these disciples that He's trying to speak into them. Can you say amen to that? How many of you tried speaking into the life of a teenager? Anybody ever done that? John's done that. I've done that. Abe's doing that. I mean, trying to speak in the lives of teenagers, it seems, wow. I wonder if they even know I'm talking. Can you amen to that? Because they go, man, they're looking at you like, wow, okay, yeah. And they go like this. They look at their phone. Yeah. Are you almost done yet? Are you looking at the time or is somebody texting you? I don't know what it is. But if you ever try talking, I mean, into the life of a teenager, imagine Jesus here, the pressure, I mean, what he's sensing, that it's coming. It's now. This is the Passover that he's set to die in. And he's got these 12 disciples that are still fighting over who's going to be better. Isn't that right? Who wants to be the top dog? Can you say amen to that? So he's coming into where he's going to have the Last Supper. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. We're going to start at verse 7. I'm whistling there, brother. Am I in the wrong place, Scotty? Can you guys hear me whistling? Is that better? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to back up. I'll back up from this, guys. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 7, says, then the day, of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said to them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters into. And you shall say to the good man of the house, the master saith to thee, where is the guest chamber? Where shall I eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large room, upper room, furnished, and there make it ready. And they went and found as he had said to them, and they made ready the Passover. Here's a pretty cool thing with Jesus. Jesus was always, I've got to tell you, I've got to say this again. The things about the gospel is always looking forward. Can you say amen to that? Always looking forward. I mean, don't look back. There's nothing for you back there. Can you say amen to that? Oh, man, it's nice to remember how he saved you. Can they say amen? It's nice to have a testimony of what he took you through and what he brought you out of. And you can, those are your testimonies. But going backwards and remembering things that you shouldn't be remembering, that's not the kingdom. The kingdom is moving forward. Can you say amen to that? What's good for you, the health of you and your spirit, is always looking forward to what God has for you. Is that okay? God is a God that knows what's going on in your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He knows that you'd rather eat tacos. Isn't that right? He knows. It's okay. I better keep it. I was going to say something. He knows chickens are, they eat anything. Oh. How many of you know chickens eat anything? Is that right, Steve? Chickens, man, they don't care what it is. They'll eat it. They eat their own feathers. Can you believe that? Anyway, I shouldn't be talking like that because my wife likes chicken. Pastor John likes chicken. How many like chicken? Yeah, give me, I'm a big juice, whatever. God knows all about us. Can you say amen to that? And here he's talking about, he tells his guys, look, go into the city and you're going to find a guy. What you'll notice is he's going to be carrying a jar of water. Just go and follow him. And I love that about Jesus. Always speaking into the future. Told these guys, go do that. You'll see. And he'd follow him in. And ask the guy about the bed, about where we can have the Last Supper. We can eat the Passover. And he'll show you. And it was exactly what he told them. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
What do you like about that? I'll tell you what I like about you is if you'll keep your ear towards Christ, if you'll keep your ear listening for God, he'll tell you things. And when he tells it to you, you're going to see it happen. Can you say amen?
Hello.
Oh, come on, man. God is always behind his word. He is the word. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He will never tell you a lie. He'll never take you in a place where you shouldn't go. You might try to go down a place where you shouldn't go, but he'll never take you there. And if he does take you to some place you feel like you shouldn't be, there's going to be a reason. Because he knows how to direct your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
When he told those guys to go get that donkey without asking anybody, just take it. That doesn't sound good. But yet they did what he said and exactly what they said. They said, hey, what are you doing? Master needs him. Take him. It's yours. I mean, that's just the Lord. Is that right? He knows all about us. And his mind, his heart, his love is always towards you for good. How many of you believe that? It's always for good, no matter what you step into. So they go in, and they went and found as he had said to them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And then he says, before I suffer. Do you know that Jesus knew he was going to go suffer? He knew it was going to be hard. He knew what he would go through. It's one thing for us to go through stuff that comes up in an instant, but it's totally different for somebody to know what's going to happen. Isn't that right? Wouldn't you say that? Oh. He wants to eat this meal with him before he goes to suffer. And I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Look at your neighbor and say, remember me. Just remember me. Is that right? Remember me. Likewise also, the cup after supper, he said, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Jesus said, remember. Remember what? What do you want us to remember? What is it that you're looking for, God, that you want us to remember in while we eat? Do this in remembrance of me. I mean, there's a lot of things that you might be able to put in there, but you know, Jesus was very specific. When you do this, remember me. Remember what? Remember that his body was broken? Yes, amen, absolutely. Can you say amen? Remember that he shed, not just some of his, but he shed all his blood. Can you say amen to that? He shed all his blood. Can I tell you that when they killed the sacrifice, they drained all the blood out of those sacrifices in Jerusalem, or whenever they were doing with Moses, whenever they were sacrificing, all the blood was drained. The Bible says that the life is in the blood. How many say amen to that? Do you know that the life is in the blood? And Jesus, all of his blood was drained. He shed his blood for us. what's the purpose of the New Testament? Can anybody tell? What's the new purpose? What's the purpose of the New Testament? Why do we have to have, we got an Old Testament and a New Testament. What's the purpose of the New Testament? What's the reason? What's that? New covenant. That's what Jesus said, right? This is a covenant in my blood. Is that what he said? It's a new covenant. What was different about the old covenant was the blood of animals, sacrificed animals, innocent animals, who had no idea about sin. Can you say amen?
Right.
Yeah. But they were covering. They weren't taken away. They were covering the sins of the people. Because for some reason, I don't know why, people enjoy sinning. How many remember enjoying sinning? I remember. But he gave us a new covenant. So when he says, remember me, when I really think that when he's talking about remembering, he's saying, hey, remember what I've done and why I've done it. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, of course. Remember that he shed his blood. Of course. Remember that his flesh was broken, beat up beyond any recognition of any man, is what the Bible says. Remember that. Yeah, remember that. But also remember who I am and why I did it. And what this covenant is I'm bringing you into. Can you say amen to that? There's a lot of folks. Can I tell you, it's important that we realize that God has brought us into something. He's paid for something for us so that we might have life and life more abundant. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God wants you to enjoy your life. Can you say amen? Sometimes people think, oh, church, I don't want to go to something. I know teenagers. You go to church, it's boring. It shouldn't be boring. But they do. Sometimes they think it's that way. But you know what? Let them get filled with the Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost come on them. There's a whole new different kid. Can you say amen?
Yes.
See, this is part of the New Testament. The New Testament that's in his blood brings life to those that have died. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 34 says this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they broke. Although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's getting ready to tell us what this covenant is going to be. He says, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Isn't that good? And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Why is it they'll all know him? Back up just a minute. Why is it they'll all know him? Because he will write the word in their hearts. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Folks, it's funny because he said he had made a covenant, and they broke it. They broke the laws of. So obviously they knew the covenant. They knew the law, obviously. But it was a head thing. Can you say amen? It was all about their head. It was all about their mind and what they were looking at. It was not about their heart. There were some there that it was in their heart. Can you say amen? Joshua was a man with a heart after God. He was. Because when Moses would leave the tabernacle, Joshua was right there, staying there with the Lord, presenting himself before the Lord. You know when Jesus said, the Bible says that when he took the bread and broke it, I believe, listen, I believe when Jesus came, he came to give us an example of how a righteous man walks in the earth. How many say amen? How many know that he was our example? And man, this sounds kind of weird, but if he raised the dead, you can raise the dead. Amen. Is that right? And you know what? In our minds, and we think that it's just somebody that has the life has gone out of them. But you know, if you witness to somebody and they give their hearts to the Lord, they present themselves before the Lord, you have just raised the dead. Amen. Can you say amen? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That's raising the dead. You shall also raise the dead. Can you say? You know, Jesus, I don't think he did anything that he didn't. You know, if you can see him doing something in the scriptures, we can do it. Can you say it? He's not going to, because he's our example, he's not going to do anything that we can't do. So a lot of people talk about walking on water. Is that right?
Yeah.
If Jesus walked on water, can you walk on water?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. If you're under authority. Folks, this is a real big point, and it's important to me that you understand this. Anything that you do has to be authority underneath authority. That's the way Jesus did it. He spent time with his Father. God would tell him his day, and then Jesus would go do what he saw or what he heard. He would speak what the Father spoke to him. He would do what the Father told him he was going to do. So he was, in essence, authority under authority. He was doing what his Father's will was. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So if you see somebody out there in the middle of a lake and they're drowning, don't take the time to swim out there. Let's just say, Lord, what should I do? Go get him. Hey, run out there. I don't know. That sounds kind of crazy, huh? But who knows? I mean, can you say, if the Lord tells you to do something, can you do it? Can you do it? If he appoints something for you to do, is it wise for you not to do it? It's not. When he says something, just do it. Amen? You never know what's going to happen. Can you say amen? Sometimes he'll open it up. He'll tell you what's going to happen. Crazy. Oh, no. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I sensed the Lord. My son, a year or so ago, received a prophecy. And God had told him, he said, you're going to come to a point where, he goes, I'm going to open 7 doors. And these 7 doors in your life, you're going to step into them. And the 8th door is the one you're looking for. And I don't know all of that, but I do know this weekend I was in Florida. And while I was there, what we were doing, we were setting up some studios for my son. And God has opened the guy that Jonathan is working with right now. He's got 7 studios all the way across the United States. And so God is doing something in the midst of my son that is, I mean, you know, hey, he loves the Lord. He's a worship leader. But he's also into media and stuff like that. And God is taking an obedient heart and expanding his presence through that obedient heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God is able to take any one of us and speak something to you and say, look, this is what I have for you. Will you just step into it? It is a place of obedience. But God, folks, we have to be after the heart of the Lord. Can you say amen to that? I wouldn't be in this building. Pastor John and I wouldn't be in this building if our heart wasn't to minister to people, to speak God's word into them. And you know what? And I said it last week, and I really felt it when I said it. But he's got us here to put ourselves out of a job. Isn't that right? Because we read in Jeremiah, it says they will all know the Lord.
Amen.
You don't need me. You don't need us. You just need the Lord. Your connection with the Lord is the most important part of you being who you are. Can you say amen to that? He will speak to you. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you what to do. You don't need me to say, well, I need you to go to Honduras this weekend. Grab 10 people out of our church, whether they want to go or not, tell them pastor said, and just take them. Oh, by the way, you pay for it. Yeah. Hey. Can I tell you, when God has something for us, he's going to open things up. There will be folks, John, folks, how many know that behind this wall, there's a big spot back there in the back? Anybody know that? Anybody? Dave, Donna, do you guys know that behind the wall, it's a big clear spot? Do you know that? I'll take you afterwards, okay? I'll let you look at it. This used to be a bowling alley. So there's a lot of lane room in the back. Folks, let me just say this. God will open the finances to this house when the time is right. All I've got to do is say, God, I'm following you. Isn't that right, Randy? God will open these things, isn't that right? God is really good at opening doors, is that right? And he's also good at slamming them shut. Can you say amen? Yeah, just watch. If you're moving in a direction that he doesn't have for you, you watch that door. You watch what happens with that door. You'll even sense it. Can you say amen? Because he loves you and he's got things for you. And all he's trying to get you to just listen to what I've got for you. Hallelujah. God is always looking forward. The kingdom of God is always forward looking. Is that right? It's never, hey, I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to drinking. Is that right? I want to go back to, I don't know, whatever it is that you might want to go back to. I don't know what your thing is, but you know, the children of Israel had this, it was better in Egypt. We had garlic in Egypt. How many like garlic? I enjoy garlic. We had garlic. We had onions. What do we got here? This piece of bread. So they're always complaining because they're always looking backwards. The kingdom, this kingdom that you are in, is always forward looking. You've got to have vision to see forward. God is the one that gives vision. Can you say amen? God, when you're in the middle of praying, when you're in the middle of, even while you're asleep, God will give you vision. He'll show you things. He'll wake you up looking at something. Because the kingdom is always forward-looking. Folks, I will say to you, be careful. Pray about somebody that's going to try to take you into your past and to relieve old hurts, to prophesy to you things that happened to you in your past. The Word of God says today is the day. Forget about yesterday. Today's the day, looking forward. Always. Can you say amen? Always looking forward. Whether you believe it or not, I'm giving you something good this morning. The Holy Spirit is saying this to you. Look forward. Look forward. Open the eyes and look forward. Can you say amen? Always looking forward. Because he does have great things in store for you, even though you might not know it. You might think, well, I'm just too old. Well, I can't do that no more. Or whatever that is, whatever that excuse is, shut up. How's that? Come on. I'm just saying that because I'm sure God would say that to you. Shut up already. Go forward. Keep moving. Amen?
Amen.
How many know that TV, 20 hours of TV, is not going forward?
Nope.
Is that right?
That's it.
Yeah. Couch potato type stuff. I mean, always be moving forward.
Yes.
Currency, your monies. Oh, yeah. You didn't think I was going to get here, huh? Yeah. Hey, there's a box in the back, by the way, in case you want to give it. But currency. Yeah. Why do they call it currency? Current. There's a current in it. It's a flow in, eh? Yeah. Stop the flow, what happens? Come on, man. Keep it flowing. Keep it flowing. You get it? Let it flow. You get it? Let it flow. This is why God says at least 10%, at least, so that I can bless you, so I can open the flow to you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Currency is a... Come on, man. I don't know why God takes me into these little areas, but he does, and I'm okay with it. My wife has my money. I don't have it. Come on, babe, a little currency here. No. Yeah, come on, man. But it's always looking forward. Is that right?
Yeah.
What does your faith say? What is the difference? Faith is a substance of things. What? Is that right now? It's something that's looking forward to. Is that right? Faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of those things that are not seen, even though you know they're there. Can you say amen to that? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a forward looking. And when we celebrate the Last Supper or communion, there should be a looking forward in your life. God already paid for those things that are contrary to him. And the Bible says to examine yourself. Is that right? Is it?
Yep.
Examine yourself. Yeah. Examine yourself. But I would say examine yourself. You know, God's a big God. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I mean, know that he's a big God.
Woo!
You're little cussing somebody out isn't really going to rock him off the throne. Is that right? Do you guys know what I'm saying? Because of these things are, I mean, the Holy Ghost is going to work it out of you anyway. Is that right? He's going to take you and hang you up on the clothesline and beat that out of you. Come on, man. No. No. But like a dirty old, dusty old rug, amen? No, but hey, no. But God's not really concerned about those things. God is concerned about your heart if your heart is looking forward to see the things that he has for you. And when we take communion, that's what I would say. Look forward. Look forward. Because there's some things that the Word of God teaches us here. I need you to look Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 23. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want you to know, how many spiritual blessings has he given you? All of them. Is that right? How many of you know all the ones he's given you?
Yep.
No way. There's no way you can know all he's given you, because he is as different and he has different ways of spiritually blessing you in ways you've got no idea how he can do it. Can you say, are you with me or not? Well, if I do this, that, and that, God has to do this, that, and that. That's just the way it is. Well, no, it's not. God has ways of blessing you that you don't even know of. So it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us, look at your neighbor saying, you've been picked. You've been picked. He has chosen us. When? Before the foundation of the earth. Is that right? He's chosen you before the foundation. So he goes, you, and you. Yeah. 1987, 1973, when John, what year were you born? 1909? Okay, yeah, he says, but I'm going to pick all you guys. Yeah, he says, so you've been from the foundation of the world, he's chosen you. Is that right?
Yeah.
Folks, you might not get it, but that's a good deal. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing that God would look from the beginning, of even before you made the planet. I've got John Valero on my heart. Whew. I've got Gina Lopez on my heart. Yeah, come on. Tommy Garcia. And all his boys on my heart from the foundation. You've been chosen. You've been picked. Is that cool? From the foundation of the world that we might, here we should be, holy and without blame before him in love. See, he's already said it. I'm going to do it for you. You're going to be holy and without blame before me. Is that okay?
Yes.
Has he done it?
Yes.
He absolutely has. I mean, you know that we have to make a choice in our own lives to quit doing what we're doing. Is that right? Do you know when Jesus took the bread and he broke it? He broke the bread. I believe that he's also showing us something that we in our own lives have to take that thing of our flesh, the part that is, and we have to break it. We have to get rid of it. We have to break it. Is that right? Break it, break it, break it. Can you say amen? You got to break that thing. If sometimes we have little things that trouble us, some things that can even follow us around, we can never get it out. Just break it. Quit doing it. Make a choice. Make a decision. Now, God, I know that you don't want me doing this. I'm not going to do it anymore. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Quit cussing out your neighbor. Yeah? That's cool. Stop. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He predestined you. Is that okay? Predestined. Big word. A lot of folks say, oh, predestination, you believe in that? Well, I believe that God predestined. That's what the word of God says, is that right? He predestined us. Can I tell you, the walk that you're in, it's already predestined. The walks that you're walking, he's already taking you through it. Can you say amen? The steps that it got you to get, the step that you went through to get you to Jesus, he ordained those steps for you too. Can you say amen? I got to the point where I said, man, I cannot lose my wife. I want to quit drinking, but I can't quit drinking. My mom just told me, she says, I told your wife to divorce you because no woman needs to be married to a drunk. And I said, what am I going to do? I didn't know what to do, but when God came into my life, he broke it. Because my heart was there to say, God, I just want to do what needs to be done. He broke that. So he predestined our steps according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he's made us accepted in the beloved. You're in the family. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Rick, we're in the family. Liz, we're in the family. We're all family here. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, I'm saying. We all are connected one to another. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. What does that mean? He's abounded toward us. See, him by his Spirit being dwelling in you is abounding toward you to give you all the wisdom and all the understanding and all the things that you have, the spiritual discernment that you need to walk with him, to operate in this life. Can you say amen? Are you glad? I'm glad. I'm glad about that. Because there are things that sometimes people tell me, and I go, that don't feel right. Anybody ever had that? Something, it didn't feel right. That's not good. And I'm not sure. I just keep my mouth shut. And if the Lord says, okay, I want you to go speak to them what I'm telling you, then I can go say something. But I don't just rattle off everything that I'm feeling. Can you say amen to that? Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Because I probably chase all of you out here, and I'm just kidding you. Hey, man, you come here. No, you come here. Yeah, well, you wait around because when I'm done with him, I got three of you to do. You know, no, man. Aren't you glad that I don't just say everything? How many of you know that we have to be in control of this vehicle we have? And you don't just speak things out of just because you sense it and you feel it. Is that right? You can hurt people. You can create some real enemies. And the body of Christ is not to be divisive like if you say amen.
Amen.
Come on, man. Wherein he's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, understanding, being wise about what you're about to say, being understanding about what people are going through. Just because you think they should be doing something else, you don't know what they've been through, but he does. That's why our connection to God is so important to us. Can you say amen to that? Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he's purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, the plan of the fullness of times, he might gather together in in one. Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, in one.
In.
Folks, folks, you might not know this, but God is trying to get the body of Christ to be one. Is that right? And do you know how he's going to do it? The Holy Ghost has got a big job. I wouldn't like to have his job. I would tell you what. I would say, man, Holy Spirit, man, you're going to make us one? Boy, I don't believe in luck. But it's going to happen because Jesus prayed it. If Jesus prayed it that we be one, then it's going to happen. Can you say amen to that? And it says right here that, the dispensation of the fullness of times, he will gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom we have also obtained an inheritance. This is where I want, folks, we have obtained an inheritance. Can you say amen? Are you glad?
Yes.
All right. You need to be looking for that inheritance. Sometimes people just say, well, it's in heaven. No, well, come on. Stop. The inheritance is now. Can you say amen? We have obtained an inheritance. Allow him to bring your inheritance to you. If you're constantly in your mind thinking, well, it's in heaven. When I get to heaven, I'll see my inheritance. I'm going to find out what my mansion looks like. All that kind of... That is not kingdom thinking. Kingdom thinking says, I've got an inheritance, and I want to know what it is. And go, Lord, I know you're the only one that can give me. Holy Spirit, open those things up to me. Let me see them. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Spirit of promise. Can you say amen to that? Listen, what is he called in this? What is the Holy Spirit called here? The Spirit of what? Promise. The Spirit of promise. Folks, as a child of God, be speaking to God about those promises that he has for you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Look at what he's done, because when you're looking at what he's done and what he's doing and what he's going to do, this is what God, Jesus was saying, do this in remembrance of me. What I've done, what I'm doing, and what I'm going to do. Come on, man. Hallelujah. There is purpose in everything. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 30. This one gets a little hairy. How many say hairy?
Hairy.
How many know what I mean when it says hairy? Well, now, just after the communion in this, you're going to see some words in here. So we're going to walk with them. We're going to walk through them a little bit. But it says, I might have given you the wrong number, Terry. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 through 30. There we go. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The apostle in here is bringing up these words, do these in remembrance, remembering not only about him dying on the cross and shedding his blood, but also what his plans are to do. What he has said, what the promises have said, remember them things. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever, now here we go. Wherefore, whosoever drink this cup and eateth and drinketh unworthy, eats and drinks. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got the. Did you move it? I see double. So I got to. What am I looking at? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore. Whosoever shall eat this bread, thank you, Terry, and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Unworthiness. Okay. be careful how you stir yourself through this thing, okay? It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Be very careful how you navigate this, because we can be really hard on ourselves. Can you say amen to that? We can use this scripture as a tool to hammer ourselves, where the Holy Spirit say, well, that's not really what I'm saying. That's not really what I'm after here. Where it says, this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and they sleep. He says something here. It says, because we don't discern the Lord's body. Can you say, I want you just think about what the Lord did for us, how that body was beaten for us and everything, and he shed his blood for us. Discernment comes from the Holy Spirit, if you will. The Holy Spirit shows us and teaches us things about what God himself is saying to the body of Christ in the earth. And so sometimes when we look at scriptures like this, speaking damnation to yourself I don't know of a lot of Christians that are just going out there and murdering people, or going out there and really doing things that harm. I don't think they're Christians. Can you say amen? They might claim to be. They might say they're a Christian. But folks that are doing things intentionally, no matter, I don't care what the Bible says, I don't care what God's saying, and if they partake in these things, this is where it causes damnation to yourself. It's actually working against you. I've said this before, that the kingdom of God executes itself on us. Can you say amen to that? It executes righteousness towards us. And in that righteousness comes this ability to understand, this thing that I have been doing, God does not like it, and he wants me to stop. How many say amen? How many have ever been in that position where God has spoken to you and said, this is not good for you? The Holy Spirit says, no, you need to stop this. Or you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know how to do it. I did it again. How do I stop it? I got no idea. This is checking yourself. And when you go to take the communion, God is a man. God knows you, all right? He knows your heart. If you're doing it purposely and without any kind of, I don't feel bad about it, I'll tell you, it's the kingdom of God is coming after you. Can you say amen to that? And it's going to execute some things. Things are going to look different for you until we allow the Holy Spirit to work it out. Can you say amen to that? But the Word of God says that the people that are doing some of this thing, they're not discerning the Lord's body. Can you say amen? There's two ways you can look at this. Many are sick and weak, and even die among you, is what it says. Some of them even die. Can I tell you that God's purpose for you is life and life more abundant? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Is that right? How many of you know that you're walking right now in eternal life? Do you know it? Do you know that you're in eternal life? It's not waiting for you in heaven. Because eternal life, God is desiring to place it in the earth in abundance. Can you say amen? Amen. And this light that we have, he wants it here.
Yes.
I know. This doesn't sound good to some of you folks. Some folks are just waiting to get to heaven. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you get to heaven, you're going to find out he's going to send you right back down here. Is that all right? He says, well, my mansions are in heaven. Yeah, they're in heaven. They're in New Jerusalem. And when this thing starts wrapping up on the earth, you're going to send it all right back down here. Can you actually move in the kingdom to see all these things happen and not go home? Can you do it? Can it happen? Listen, I'm placing some words in you that you need to look at. I mean, hey, you can call me false prophet. You can say whatever. But I will tell you, I'm not taking it anywhere out. I'm taking it out of this book here. Amen. Yeah, I know it's a little beat up. But folks, we have been taught and trained in things by man, where the Holy Spirit might be saying something different. And we each want to be taught by the Lord, so we each need to go and look at the Word of God. Now, this kingdom that he's bringing, did you notice when he said, I'm not going to eat this anymore until my kingdom comes. Is that right? Is that what he said? Do you remember that? He said, here, this is the bread. I won't have it anymore until the kingdom comes. And then he says, this is the wine. I won't drink it anymore until the kingdom comes. Can you say amen? Yeah. Folks, the kingdom is right now. It's on the earth. Yeah. He's not going to leave. He's not going to forsake you. He cannot. He cannot leave you nor forsake you. Is that okay?
Amen.
Come on, man. So his body, not only did it die, but he's also talking about not discerning the Lord's body. Do you know that you're part of the body of Christ? How many of you know that? You are in the body. You are in the body. Do you know that when somebody's sick, it affects the body? Is that right?
Yep.
You know, when you're not feeling good, does your whole body just rejoice and go running outside and everything? What do? Most of the time you go find a place to lay down, right? Because the whole body needs to, folks, the body of Christ in the earth needs to be very strong. Can I say that to you? It needs to be filled with life. This is why the Bible says, Isaiah 53, he was wounded. Is that right? For our transgressions. Do you have that? Isaiah 53, I think it's 4 and 5, I think. He was wounded for our transgressions. Is that right? He was bruised
for our iniquities.
Not in there. The chastisement of our what? How many like having peace? Peace. The chastisement, the whipping of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are what?
Healed.
Folks, we have to come to the point that we say, I'm healed. Because he tells us that we have to discern the Lord's body. Is that okay? And I say this because I know we all go through certain things. Is that okay? Is that right? We all have problems. We all have hurts and pains, and we all have those things. But God has provided an answer for each and every one of us. God might hold on to what he has for your body to a certain point, but nevertheless, he's always gonna happen, if you will say amen. If you'll always look, like I said, to the future. If you always keep your eyes going forward. Well, he hasn't healed me yet, so I guess he never will. No. People have told me, let me just ask you a question. The moment you're born, are you living or dying?
Living.
We got two, living or dying. How many say living? How many say dying? Yeah. Living or dying? The moment you're born in this earth, I believe you're actually dying because the word calls you dead. But the moment you're born again, is that right? Now we're yet. Now we're living. See, born again has changed things. Oh. Born again has changed things. Where before you were degenerating, day by day, degenerating. Right? Degenerating. Where you get born again, the word says something else, that now you're regenerating. Regenerating. I want you to look at this word. Check out this is regenerating, regeneration. Regeneration. Palingenesia. I don't know how to say it. That's Greek.
Yes.
In Greek. To new birth, reproduction, renewal, recreation. No, that's not having fun. That's recreation. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys. Recreation, regeneration, hence renovation. The production of a new life consecrated to God. Come on. A radical change of mind for the what?
Better.
For the better. The word often is used to denote a restoration of a thing to its pristine state. I was at the airport, I guess it was Friday night, and I'm walking over towards the far end because I know everybody usually gets over there, and I tell Rosie, just go to the far end and I'll be over there. And there is a 1957 Chevy sitting in there. Anybody seen it? No? It's red and white. It's beautiful. And I said, I don't care if Rosie's coming or not. I'm going to go look at this car. And I walked around it a few times. That car is in pristine shape. It's been renewed. Regenerated, if you will. So the word is often used to denote the restoration of a thing and to its pristine state. It's renovation as a renewal or a restoration of life after death. Listen to that. Life after death, right?
Yeah.
Do you know that you died when you gave your heart to life? Yeah, my heart to Jesus. And he brings this restoration. You don't believe me, do you? No, show me that in the word. Okay, I'll show you in the word. Titus chapter 3, can you put that up? Look at this word, and we're going to come back to this, Terry. For we ourselves were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Is that true?
Yeah.
Everybody awake? I'm sorry. Hello? Hello? Is that true? We were ourselves were sometimes foolish, yeah, anybody, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Is that right? Remember that? Come on. Okay. All right. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of what? Regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made what? Heirs. You have an inheritance according to the hope of eternal life. Now go back. See, it's the washing of what? Regeneration. Let's go back to that word again, Terry. The washing of regeneration. To new birth, reproduction, renewal, recreation, regeneration, hence renovation, regeneration, the production of a new life consecrated to God. A radical change of mind for the better. A word often used to denote the restoration of a thing to its pristine state. I'm going to stop with that right there. Well, I gotta finish that. To this pristine state, its renovation as a renewal or restoration of life after death. And can I get the ladies to bring the it's getting close to lunchtime, and we're not having lunch. We're gonna do a communion. But I want you to see that the Word of God has told us that the Holy Spirit is helping us to return to a pristine state. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
I mean, you can have it if you want it. You don't have to take it. But when you get as old as John is now, when you get as old as I am, you're going to say, you know what, I'll take that. I'm going to go for that. I'm always picking on him. Yeah. I will tell you that God never intended for you to get sick and die. Can you say amen? He never intended for you to go through mental things. The Word of God says that. He says, I am. Says that. Oh, God. Just took off from me. He wants you as quick in mind as you are in your body. He wants your body to be able to react to the things that he says to you. Is that okay?
Yes.
And I will tell you, I know, talked to a couple this week that I know that it's hard for them to get up and react the way they used to. You guys remember how it used to be when you get up, man, I remember getting down on the floor. Now I have to be almost crawling back up. I get up off my knees. Tommy, you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's okay. But I'll tell you, and I said, Lord, your word says there's a regeneration in my life. I'm not degenerating. I am regenerating according to the Holy Ghost. That's what God's word says. Can you say amen? How many of you believe God's word? Folks, I am part of the body.
Amen.
You are part of the body. So when we take communion today, we're going to take communion as the body of Christ. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And anything that is contrary to what God's word says about you being in pristine state, we're going to speak to that. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I'm going to ask that you move across the aisle and just put your hand on somebody, wherever you're at. I need just to move in, and just as we take this, can I get you to stand up as you get the elements? And we're gonna take communion this morning, and we're gonna believe God that the body of Christ, every member is gonna be in pristine state.
Hallelujah.
In the condition it was intended. Can I get you all just to move over? And I know it's, I don't know them. Let's get over, let's scoot. Bring them in. I think I've got one. Has everybody got something? Man, this is getting harder than I thought. Can we move in?
Yes.
Let's all move in. This is getting really hard, I guess. Keep on coming. Come on. Yeah, there you go. Move in. Yeah, it might seem a little silly, but it's something I feel that I could actually see it this morning. Yeah, like herding cats, yeah. And what I need you to do, because you need both hands, is that right? Yeah. What I need you to do is I need you to just stand shoulder to shoulder. This is like downtown Los Angeles at the airport. Come on. Let's just move in almost to where you're just touching shoulders or elbows or whatever. But what I want is connection. Okay. Connection. Nice. There you go. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. Connection. Does everybody have a connection? All right. I'll see you later. I'm going home. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Do you have yours, Linda? You do, huh? Yeah. And Linda, you can stop any minute and just join the crowd, okay? Because I'm going to go out there too. Yes. Linda? Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. First Assembly, we used to have a little play that was the Lord's Supper, and I really enjoyed doing it. And guess who was Jesus? Yeah. But every time we did it, I really sensed that God was desiring something different about communion that I didn't know what he was talking about. But in this, what I just want you to know, discerning the Lord's body, that's all of us. We are the Lord's body. We are members one of another. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
When you go and you do something incorrect, it affects all the members. Can you say, whether you believe it or not, it's what the Word of God says. So we are members one of another. And it's important for us to discern that. If you move into something that you really shouldn't be doing, you say in your heart, how will this affect the body? And hopefully the Holy Spirit will say, yeah, you won't do this. Sometimes it's not, how many know that what we're doing is symbolism? But it's very, very, it is something that is absolutely a must that we understand that we are part of the body. Can I get you guys, come on over, guys. Do they have they been served? Come on over. This is a good sized body here. Nice. I'm going to say to you what I just felt the Lord saying to you. You are healed.
Amen.
You are complete. Your mind is sound. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
There is nothing that he hasn't taken care of for you.
Yes.
So walk in that. When he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead and take the bread. Thank you, Lord. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, and as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. You take the cup. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, Father. We thank you, Lord, for what you're saying to the body of Christ today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have brought us together, that you have chosen us, Father, by your divine will to do the things that you would have us to do, Father, in the earth as the body of Christ. Father, I speak to each and every one that are here, that will hear this on the podcast. Father, I speak to each and every one. Rejoice, for the Lord your God is with you. Every infirmity in the name of Jesus as a body, how many say amen?
Amen.
As a body must leave now.
Amen.
Hurt backs.
Amen.
Circulatory systems. Structural systems. Come on.
Amen.
Pulmonary systems. I'm not a doctor. I don't know all the names of them. But everything. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Do you agree? Hey, can I just say that? Walk in this. Just walk and walk and walk in it. Amen? You are the body of Christ.
Yes.
And you're healed.
Yes.
You're healed. No matter what it says, this thing says you're healed. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for coming this morning. Thank you for participating. Hey, we are one of another, whether you like it or not. Sorry. Yeah, come on. God bless you guys.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.